Tonight's reading is from 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 to 7. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Amen.
So I'd like to welcome Will up to give us our talk this evening. Can I pray for you, Will?
Please do.
Father God, we thank you for Will, and we thank you for this message that he's got to share with us this evening. We pray that you'll give him the words that will really touch our hearts, and that they will be coming from you. I ask this in your name. Amen.
Amen. Well, again, a welcome from me to our Serving Sunday. It's such an important Sunday. So whether you're here in church or watching online, it's great to have you with us. And thank you for responding to the call in my weekly video update to join us this evening. My wife has told me, don't you ever dare record that video update wearing what you were wearing again. A little harsh, I thought, but anyway, I shall take note of that. That's one way of making sure everyone's going to be looking at my video update now to see what I was wearing. But anyway, what better subject to have as part of our Building Back series, Serving Sunday? Now, when you don't use your muscles, they atrophy. You can tell I've been watching too much of Grey's Anatomy. But, you know, the muscles just kind of wither away if they're not used. It's nothing malignant. It's not intentional. It's just an inevitable process. Like when you break a leg and your leg's been in a plaster cast for 6 weeks, you take the cast off, this thigh muscle is going to be smaller than that thigh muscle. And on this picture of the body, Paul loves using the body as an image of the church, doesn't he? He says, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body. So it is with Christ. So we need every single part of our body to fully function. And for those of us who are getting a little bit older, we all know what it's like when parts of our bodies stop functioning as they should do. The whole body suffers. And of course, this last year, we have seen significant atrophy, not just outside church, whole organizations that have had to lay dormant, pubs for example, but also in church, when some of our ministry teams have had very little to do. Of course, others, our outreach teams, our food bank teams, our pastoral teams, have never been busier, but some of our service teams in church have not been called upon at all. So, we are rebuilding. We need to rebuild, and we need to build back better. And so these unused parts of the body of the church need to be rebuilt. They need to be reconstituted because they are essential to getting the church rebuilt and fit for mission. And these vital building blocks are our service teams, teams of people who serve God by serving his church. And there's no quick fix to this, of course. This is a process we have to go through with lots of different phases. And the initial phase is really all about our Sunday services. And I don't know, if you think I may have my priorities wrong, let me just say that a lot of our outreach teams, as I've mentioned, Actually, some of them don't really need rebuilding. They need resting because they have been so hard at it over the last year. But using a military analogy, you know, if you're going to go and launch a war, you need to get all your logistics up and running first. You need to get your home base up and running first. You need to be able to feed, clothe, and equip your soldiers before you send them out on operations. And so that, I think, it may be a bad metaphor, but it's the way I'm looking at building up our Sunday services. It's just the first phase. There will be more. If you're sitting here thinking, but Will, it's not just about Sunday, you know, we've got the rest of the week. That's a really important part of our Christian calling. And of course, you're absolutely right. But we're just starting this Sunday with getting our services up and running, and you'll understand why I'm so passionate about that as we go through my talk. So it's important to understand that the church should have an ethos of serving. You know, serving should really be at the core of what we do. And if you're wondering why the church needs to be wholly different and wholly distinctive, we just need to look no further than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because you see, the church is not a club or an institution that, you know, you pay your dues and you just sit back and somebody else does all the work. We're not like that at all. We're called to be different. And the reason is because of the example Jesus has set us. Now, we didn't have this passage read to us, but I'm sure many of us will be familiar with Jesus washing his disciples' feet at the Last Supper. And it's a totally countercultural thing for somebody of Jesus' position to do. So back in those days, 2,000 years ago, you would walk or you'd jump on the back of a donkey and you'd travel through a dusty road wearing sandals to get to somebody's house to enjoy their hospitality. So your feet would be absolutely filthy. And so as a sign of respect and to help you enjoy your evening, the lowest of the low from the servants would be called upon to wash everybody's feet as they came in. Now, I don't know about you, but it's probably quite a manky job. You know, I wouldn't be signing up on the rota for foot washing. You know, it would not be my first choice. And so here we have in this well-known story, Jesus washing his disciples' feet, the Son of God washing the disciples' feet. And it's not surprising, Peter just can't get his head around it. He flips, he says, "No, you shall never wash my feet." And Jesus explains that although they correctly call him teacher and Lord, that he is setting them an example of serving. He's showing them how important serving one another is, so that when he goes, he leaves them, they too will go and serve. It's clear from this enacted parable the importance that serving is within the Christian faith. Now, in other world faiths, there's lots of talk about good actions and giving money to the poor and all this kind of stuff. But in none of them do we see a God washing somebody else's feet. You know, that would be offensive to other world religions. So this is why it's a priority for the Christian faith. And going on from this, it's not surprising then that in the reading Andrew read to us from 1 Peter chapter 5, we hear that the early church is also regarding serving as very, very important. Now, that letter was written, we think, from Rome to various churches dotted around what we'd now called Turkey. And it's written to Christians. It's not written to Christian leaders. And in those days, the letter would be sent and it would be read from the front at a gathering. And everyone would hear it. And Peter writes, just to remind you, "Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care." So he's saying to everybody, not just the leaders, to everybody, i.e. you guys sitting here and at home, be shepherds of God's flock. Now, what do shepherds do? They look after the sheep. And so that is one thing that we are called to do, is look after one another. Not because you must, but because you're willing. You see, there's no compulsion here. God's grace is free. You only have to accept it. There's no compulsion. Nobody's forcing anybody to do anything, but you should be willing. And why should we be willing? Well, that is because we need to understand what Jesus has done for us on the cross. Now, if somebody does the most amazing favor for you, you know, the natural response is, wow, that's incredible. Thank you so much. Listen, you know, is there anything I can do for you? You know, is there any way I can help you in return? Now, there's nothing we can possibly do to match what God has done for us. Nothing. We can never earn our way into heaven. We can never pay Jesus back for what he did for us on the cross. But you know, if we understand what Jesus did for us on the cross, we should be willing to serve. We should be thinking, listen, I know I can only do a little tiny fraction of what you're asking me to do, but what I have, I give to you. Let me help in some way. And so we need to be eager to serve. So Peter goes on, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. And it's those few words, eager to serve, that I want everyone to really take home with them after the service tonight. Are we eager to serve? Because if we understand what Jesus has done for us, surely we should be eager to serve in whatever way possible. Now, last time we had a serving Sunday, I can't remember when that was, I got a little bit of flack from a couple of people saying, you know, I'm too elderly, I'm too frail, I'm too ill, or, you know, you can think of any reason, you know, I can't serve. So I felt you really got at me, Will, in that sermon. So unless there's any doubt here tonight, I'm obviously speaking to people who are physically, mentally in the right place and physically able to serve, you know, able to make a pot of tea and pour it out for other people, perhaps on the hospitality team, that sort of thing. So please don't feel got at if you are, for whatever reason, unable to physically serve. And so I hope you may have seen the little roadmap out of lockdown. You see that natty little flyer, which Lucia did on her iPad. Could have been better, but thank you so much, darling. You did it, and you did it quickly. But it had various points along the route. Now, if we're going to achieve those things, we need help. We all need to pull together. So where do we need help? Well, today, as I said, I'm appealing for some help with some of our mission critical ministers. They're not all mission critical. And there's lots of, I think I upset somebody this morning because I said that the flower team wasn't mission critical. I know. Ollie and Joe have said they're gonna get a shovel and they're gonna store it at the back of church. And when I start saying things and I'm just digging myself in deeper and deeper, they're just gonna hold the shovel up at the back of church so I can see, and I know that's the code for shut up, Will. You are digging yourself in deeper and deeper. So if you're on the flower team tonight, I apologize, I've just dug another hole for myself. But we're just gonna focus on the mission critical ones tonight. So I have my assistant here, and he's going to help me with some visual aids. And the first one, when we build anything in the church, is we have a cornerstone. And the cornerstone is Jesus. Now, if you read other parts of Paul's letters, you'll know that Christ talks about, Paul and Peter both talk about Christ being the cornerstone of the church. This is the first thing. It's all about Jesus. It's not really about all these different teams and how many people, and you know, it's the whole church is all about Jesus. So he's there, okay? He is our cornerstone. So the next thing, and this isn't necessarily in an order of priority, okay? The next thing I want to talk about Actually, before I go on to that, so Paul writes, "For we are co-workers in God's service, God's building. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ." That was an important bit of scripture that I forgot. Okay, so we're now going to come on to the first ministry team. Ollie, thank you very much. There we go. Thank you, Jade. It's our children's groups. Now, these are so important, and the 11 a.m. service has been growing steadily. Each Sunday, we've had a new family, or at least a new person, come and join us, which is fantastic. But there is a sense that until we get the kids' groups, which run upstairs in the three rooms upstairs, until we get those up and running, people will be hesitant to return. Not everybody likes an all-age service every Sunday because they don't get a grown-up sermon. So the reality is we really need to rebuild these children's groups. So you may not attend the 11 a.m. service, but might you sign up to help in one of the groups? Once a month, once a term, once a, you know, whatever it is, Jade would love to hear from you. Also, the priority, just so you know, I can see the pallets are all here. It's revival when that family comes to church. It's like the Hollands in the morning. So the priority for the kids' groups is at 11 a.m. I know we used to have a group for the older kids at this service, but we're going to start off by getting the 11 a.m. up and running. We're going to try and do kids' work at this service just once a month to start with. So I know there's some people who are a little bit frustrated who were used to kids' work at this service every Sunday. We just don't think we can resource that at the moment. So the next thing is our children soon turn into youth. So Ollie, this is the next ministry team. We've been very blessed with Jacob holding the fort, running groups as best he can, but it would be fair to say that for very understandable reasons, our youth, a lot of them have melted away because they've been doing schooling online all day. The last thing they want to do is to sign up for an evening Zoom meeting. But we are hoping to restart the youth group soon. So I know Jacob would love to hear from any of you who'd be prepared to help in some capacity with our youth offering. And just to go off on a quick red herring, we have shortlisted three candidates for the new youth and student pastor's job, which is going to kick off, God willing, in September, and we're interviewing on the 22nd of May. Please hold those three candidates in your prayers. Please pray, because a lot of churches advertising, please pray that they don't end up working somewhere else, you know, and that God leads us the right person. Anyway, on from the youth, teas and coffees. Now, listen, I know we can live without tea and coffee, but, you know, the whole chatting at the end of a service, we introduce teas and coffees at the 9 a.m. for the very first time outside on the grass this morning, and there was such a wonderful buzz. People who've been on their own for most of the week chatting together. Of course, you're allowed to do that outside now. Very soon, we'll be allowed to do it inside. So we need hospitality teams rebuilding. And then there's the welcome team. Do you know, it's been fantastic. We've got new faces coming to church. The welcome, you only get one chance to make a first impression. I'd like to claim that as my own, but actually Rick Warren said that. It's so important that when people who are new to church come, is the first thing they see is somebody smiling and giving them a warm welcome. This job is for extroverts, not introverts, okay? You need to be happy to smile and chat to any passing stranger, okay? But we would love to rebuild the welcome team. At the moment, it's Ian, who stands outside on it on his own. Yeah! but I'm sure Ian would agree with me. It would be wonderful to have our normal welcome team inside the church as well. So the next thing is production. And Ollie, can you No, hang on. Were you going to talk about production at the end, or are you going to do it now? Yeah, come and do it now. Come on. So production is very, very technical. You need a degree in astrophysics. Isn't that right?
Absolutely. Let me tell you all about production, because you know how good I am with all these technical things. I'm useless at anything technical, anything on a computer. I can email and that's my limit. I can do the production team. I can sit up there and press the button and it's great. No, I just want to encourage you and say that you don't have to be really technical to do the button pressing. There are aspects of the production that are really hard that I wouldn't even want to think about that they do up there. But there are some jobs that are really quite basic that people like me can do. So, yes.
Wonderful. Thank you. And if you wonder why we have all these wonderful cameras and the live stream, I got this thank you card in the post this week. And it says this: I would like to thank you, Will, and your team for the YouTube services I have watched over the past year. I'm a Presbyterian living in Bangor, Northern Ireland, and I don't know how I discovered your services, but I have thoroughly enjoyed them. I love the singing. I haven't sung like this for years. It's been a joy. And I love the prayers as well. Unfortunately, I don't do Zoom. Keep up the good work. Stay safe and well. With warmest wishes, Diane. Isn't that lovely? Someone, yeah. So, you know, we're really keen to keep the high standards of the live stream going. It would be, I don't know, I just, you know, we've got people watching from the USA, and I know you could say, well, hang on, haven't they got a good church local to them that they can tune into? But they obviously haven't. And so I like to think it's part of our global ministry. Yes. I can see a new business card coming on, you know, BPC Global Ministries, Inc. But I think it's really important that we keep doing that. But we do need more help with the production. And then we've got readers, people to help reading the lessons. And you can crack on with the other two as well, Ollie. And of course, you don't need to serve at the service you come to. You can attend a service to receive, and you can serve at another service. So it may be that you like traditional singing. You could be in the choir, or you might even help at the 9 a.m. service. I know it's quite early in the morning, but you know, help in that service as well. So the final one, of course, and this is really just showing off my craft capabilities, is prayer. And you know, prayer going upwards. If you can't serve, of course you can pray, but we should all be praying. So how can you respond to this? Well, Joe and Ollie are going to come up, but basically you should all have had a bit of paper. You can fill it in a time of response now. You could take it home, pray over it. There's also an online version of the form, which was sent at the bottom of the email you got yesterday with the tea and chat details. We'll also be reminding you of that link in this week's video update, or just go to the website /serve. We really do need your help. And please, just ticking a box doesn't commit you to anything. All that will happen is you'll then get contacted by the team leader, and you can talk through. You can talk through with them what you think you might be able to do. There's lots of other areas, but this is where we're starting today. Whether we're speaking about Jesus or being Jesus's hands and feet, behind a camera, making a cup of tea, welcoming, reading a lesson, whatever it is, you are playing a part in growing the kingdom. So I'm going to hand back over as the band come back up onto the stage. I'm going to hand it over to Joe and Ollie.
So we listened to Will's talk this morning, and as I was listening to it, I was thinking that there's another side to serving, and it's about how it makes you feel. And I remember Ollie and Jade, when they first came, used to just sit at the back, didn't you, and then disappear sneakily. So what changed?
Yeah, that was the introvert in me. So, yeah, we did. We used to sit at the back, and I can remember it was one of the first serving Sundays, obviously, that we'd ever attended. And I felt led by the Holy Spirit as I was looking through the list to what I could tick. And I think the benefit, looking back to this day, was that it really helped us integrate into the church. So meet people, become part of the church, and become part of serving. So for us, it was a huge stepping stone to really making the most of this experience. How about you, Jo?
I started volunteering at ARC back in the day. And I used to help at ARC, and then I started helping with refreshments, I think. But I think what it makes you feel like you're part of the body of people. So you become part of a team, you get to know the other people, especially hospitality, because it's a good way of speaking to people across, the tea and coffee pots. So you've got a reason for speaking to people. And I just think it makes us feel part of one part of the whole body, and it becomes your church rather than you coming to church. So that's why I just wanted to encourage you to serve, not just because it gets a job done and it's a rota, but because it'll make you feel part of our whole church and our church family and our community.
Absolutely. So as the band begin to play, I wonder if we could take a few moments just to start to reflect and consider what areas we may be able to serve in and the difference that it can make, not just to our lives as servants of Jesus Christ, but also the lives of others that are touched so much by what we do here at Buckingham Parish Church. So I'd really like to encourage you to do that as we begin to worship.